third down and 20.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Third and 20 Dynasty Podcast. I'm JT, joined by Frank. The usual crew is out. It's just JT Frank show for you all. But
it's so weird not hearing like another thing after that, you know? Another name after that.
Yeah. But we're here. The roster cuts just happened, so we'll get into that. But we're basically a week and change away from the start of the NFL season, which is exciting. I guess that means we're going to be flipping over to season three soon on the pod.
No, season four, dude.
Oh, season four.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Because yeah, that's insane.
I'm tweeting out the pod right now, and you just made me think, wait a minute, is it season two or season three?
I know. Yeah. All right, so I guess we'll just jump right into it with the cuts. Oh, no, you know what? Actually, let's start with some news and notes. Jonathan Taylor, not traded. Nope, sorry. You good?
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor, not traded. That was kind of the big will he, won't he drama of the past week or so. Jonathan Taylor was told he could look for a trade. There are teams like the Eagles, the Dolphins, always a mystery team involved as well, who were potentially making offers to the Colts, but I guess no one met the Colts' asking price, which meant Jonathan Taylor wasn't traded. But on top of that, Jonathan Taylor also is being put on the physically unable to perform list. So he's going to be out for the first 4 weeks at least, which is not great if you're in redraft leagues and just drafted Jonathan Taylor expecting him to at least play.
I mean, it's also not great if you're a contender right now and you don't get him for the first four games of the season. So I guess, like, first question, really what's changed? If you're a contending team, are you entertaining offers to trade Jonathan Taylor and downgrade into a different back or trade him for slightly less value or something?
You inspired me. Because I'd like to see recent trades involving
Jonathan Taylor. Ooh, yeah, this could be really juicy. Because I do think that in some leagues you're going to have managers that not necessarily panic, but will entertain trading trading Taylor at a slight discount to what he should be going for.
Yeah, all right. So I have the Jonathan Taylor trades here.
Maybe so more priced like a Saquon instead of where Breece Hall or CMC are currently being drafted.
Mm-hmm. None of them have been since today. So you're going to have to kind of take it with a grain of salt.
Dang. You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, it doesn't really work for us.
Also, I completely forgot about this. The wizard hats. We need to spice it up. Club Penguin wizard hats. Shout out Club Penguin. So we are wizards this episode, JT.
Yeah, I. Fun fact: never played Club Penguin. I was more of a Webkinz guy myself. lived a different world. Cash Cow is awesome though. Big fan of Cash Cow. So.
Jonathan Taylor, let's be UDFA traded. Wizards. No, fuck Jonathan Taylor. It's how about this?
Yeah, but
Are you just holding him for your contender?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what else? Like,
you're gonna take that slight decrease. What if you moved him into like a Josh Jacobs? Because you could definitely do that, and maybe get a smidge on top of Jacobs for it.
Hey, Joe. No, thank you.
What's going on, Joe?
I do not want Josh Jacobs for my Jonathan Taylor.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm probably with you. I probably wouldn't be looking.
That's
to
a move 2-round ADP difference.
Yeah.
Jacobs to Taylor. But I mean, any of those running backs underneath Jonathan Taylor, like, would I do a Jonathan Taylor for, first off, I don't think Jonathan Taylor for Jahmyr Gibbs gets done at this point.
And no.
Jake sent us a tweet. Currently in ADP, he's ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs, but Jake sent us Ryan McDowell from, what are they, DLF, I think?
Yeah.
Probably the biggest Dynasty people. They did a study, and it looks like Jahmyr Gibbs is at the RB2 currently. So that's not happening. You're not going to get CMC. Probably not going to get Breece Hall. Yeah, maybe you'll get Breece Hall. I mean, that one I could kind of see. Like, if no, you have,
you're not getting Breece Hall.
If you have a guy with Breece Hall who is scared off from the ACL and Dalvin Cook, I mean, that one I could see.
Um, I think you would need to get Jonathan Taylor in something. I think the people that have Breece Hall right now are looking to just keep their Breece Hall. And they're like, listen, you have to give me something to move him. Because to me, if we were to... I think that's an interesting question. Who would I rank higher, Breece Hall or Jonathan Taylor, the more I think about it? Because I instantly leaned to Breece Hall. But...
I think it's definitely Breece Hall, but... I mean,
I think the market would say Breece Hall. That I think that's part of the issue is I think that the market would easily say Breece Hall. If you did a Twitter poll, I think it's like 80%, if not more, say Breece Hall.
Yeah, but I don't think you'd have to give up much to get Breece Hall on top of Taylor.
No, but is that worth it though? Because if you boil it down to just the talent. I think that you can make a very clear argument that Jonathan Taylor is more talented than Breece Hall.
I don't know about that. I mean, it depends. This whole coming back from the ACL injury and everything, I don't know. But Breece Hall was running away with Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like Breece Hall a lot. He's good. But I think that Jonathan Taylor's profile is just a little bit stronger. The only thing that I really hesitate about is Breece Hall and his ability to gain receptions at a level that Jonathan Taylor will never see. And that's what would scare me, I guess, like make me question a little bit, because I do think that Breece Hall is a player that as his career goes on could be a guy that gets more and more involved in the passing game.
Am I correct in that Jonathan Taylor's rookie year was with Phillip Rivers?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's the check down king. So I don't know if we're ever getting more receiving.
Wait, was that the year after?
I'll just pull it up. Probably the 2020 Colts roster. Phillip Rivers, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. Okay, rookie year. He had 36 catches. Now, there was Nyheim Hines there, I think. So that does take a good chunk.
I mean, 36 catches is pretty good. It's honestly more than I would have guessed.
Two a game. A little over two a game. But I just think Breece Hall can hit higher levels, much higher levels, I'd say, than that. So do we care about any of the Colts backup running backs? I don't even know who. Is it Deion Jackson who's going to be the guy in his place?
So it sounds like they're going to split between Hull and... Or at least that's what they were doing in preseason. Hull and Deion Jackson getting split. Hull and
Deion Jackson, yeah.
But I agree with you. Now that Jonathan Taylor... I do think they bring in a veteran.
It's Leonard Fournette and Kareem Hunt, right? Are the main two guys left?
And they had Kareem Hunt coming in for a visit already, and he hasn't signed, which was a little weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess in terms of timing, like... Because the clock is ticking a little bit, I guess it would be after this round of waivers and the practice squad crap going on. There's all this shuffling where people are cutting people, but some guys are only Fugazi cut because they're going on the practice squad.
Practice squad, yeah.
And then some guys are Fugazi cut because some guy's going on the practice squad and they need the roster spot here until he's on the practice squad. Then they can get him back on. It's like, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy out here.
Well,
which is another thing, because now that we start to get into these players, this is where it gets interesting, because it doesn't necessarily mean that they're cooked, because another team could come in and just sign them and then cut someone that they already have right now.
Yeah. All right. But let's get into it. NFL cut deadline. I think it was 4 o'clock today, so we should have everyone cut. Do you just want to go in alphabetical order by team, or what?
Let's just go down the list that I made.
Okay.
So these are the ones that I jotted down that I thought were interesting, because we're not going to go through all of them. But for dynasty purposes, here we go. Corey Clement getting cut by the Cardinals, I thought was eye-opening, because they kept undrafted free agent Eric, like, DeMercado or something along those lines.
Yeah, DeMercado, yep.
Just using the Skull Dynasty strat happened to land him in a handful of leagues, just as like fucking take a random running back on rosters, right? and Keyonte Ingram were kept both over Corey Clement, right, a veteran that's been around the league. Not the most shocking thing in the world, but clearly one or both of these guys are going to see touches and be given a shot, which is very interesting given their price tags this offseason.
I think Keyonte Ingram is a very good speculative buy. I was trying to snag him from Jake in our home league because he was looking for players to cut, and I was like, look, I'll just trade you. I think I even offered a third for Keyonte Ingram. He didn't take it.
Now that's one, like, the issue with all these types of players is that a lot of these guys, the only thing that it really takes to move it is a third, and a third is a hefty price for a very speculative buy. But let's just get that out of the way and assume that you can get these guys for dirt cheap. Maybe the strat is you just try to add them as a throw-in for a different trade, right? So you find someone exactly on the roster that you like, and then try to target them as an evening piece instead of, you know, where it's like you're eating a little bit, but I get this guy I was targeting. Didn't Ingram get cut today? Did he get cut today? I don't think he did.
Keyonte Ingram. No, it doesn't. No, it says he won the RB2 job. Unless there's a different Ingram that we're talking about.
I saw a report that it was DeMarcado and Ingram that got kept.
Yeah, everything I'm seeing says that Keyonte Ingram is still a Cardinal and that he won the RB2 job. Maybe Joe's talking about a different Ingram. I don't know.
But yeah, I think that Keyonte Ingram is an extremely interesting speculative buy or even potential waiver add in shallower leagues. Or like you said, right, when the season's coming up, now you're forced to cut players. You might be able to still snag a little roster move sort of a deal. But if you invested him at his price tag or drafted him a startup, I mean, he was going like... We did that one segment. He must have been going, what, 21st round or something?
Oh, yeah. Did I take him? Oh, I need to go back.
It was 17th or later. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, that's throw-in price, right? That's the throw-in territory. Yeah, a lot of names today. A lot of crap going on, Joe.
Yeah. I don't have it on me who I took. But... so that was the Cardinals. Now moving on to my team, the Patriots, where first off, Ty Montgomery was cut by the Patriots. That one, Frank, you had a good take on it, where that's probably very good news for Ramondre Stevenson.
Yes, because Bill Belichick is not one of these coaches that is going to come in here and advocate for let's just play this guy all the time because he's the best. He is very much like play by play, right? If there's a third down and we think that Ty Montgomery gives us a better shot at like lining up out, motioning out wide and running a route, he will play Ty Montgomery doing that. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, not that he's the only one, but that's why you see some of these like weird running back scenarios of the Patriots, because Bill Belichick does not care. He will play the guy he just thinks gives him the best chance on that play. And the fact of the matter is, now you look at the depth chart, Ramondre Stevenson is easily the best pass-catching back on this team. So in my eyes, now they don't have J.J. Taylor, right? He's not around.
He just
still.
Got cut, too.
Yeah, he just got cut, too. Yeah, so it's like, to me, they are now saying, okay, like last year, you are going to get a sizable portion of our target share. We just got rid of all these running backs that we had tried to replace these James White and these Shane Vereen type players. The Patriots have always had these guys. And now on that roster, it is Ramondre Stevenson. So if there's still panic from the Zeke move, Ramondre Stevenson could be a pretty attractive buy for the first time all offseason. Like, my take in that being that he was just so expensive, right? You have to pay a Saquon type of price to get him if you're not in a startup. No one's going to give him up at market value before the Zeke move.
Yeah, he was in the fifth round of start, beginning of the fifth round for startup ADP.
But even that, he was one of the only running backs at that time where I felt like it was good value to draft, right? Because that's the same round as Najee and Javonte. And the like, I think the more you go on, the more you think, like, okay, I can see, like, Ramondre is the best blend of upside, and I've proven it, mm-hmm. compared to Javonte and Najee. Like, he's to, like, at least a tier, if not more, higher than those players. Even though I like Najee and Javonte, they just have an inherent risk about them of Najee, like, really declining last year, and Javonte never fucking doing it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree with that take. And then the other thing that happened, though, with the Patriots is Bailey Zappe cut, along with Malik Cunningham, who, if I were to guess, I'd say Malik Cunningham comes back on the Patriots practice squad. That's just my assumption. Bailey Zappe getting cut is a surprise. I will say that. I do kind of understand where the Patriots are coming from, though, where it's like, if Mac Jones is our guy, like, let's just make him our guy, get rid of any distractions, right? I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in someone else, like Colt McCoy just got cut yesterday. Maybe someone like that, just another random journeyman backup to have on the season, because I don't think you're going to rely on Malik Cunningham being your number two QB going into the year. But to me, this just says that Mac Jones is the guy. All right, he's not getting yoinked. There's no problem of Mac Jones losing his starting job this year, at least. Now, had this happened a week ago, or had the Trey Lance trade not happened, I'd be like, oh my God, we're getting Trey Lance. Like, they're trading Trey Lance. Like, we're getting Trey Lance. That didn't happen. Oh, we need to talk about that too, actually. That was not part of our news.
Oh, event. Shit. Yeah, I forgot about that. Because we didn't cover that.
Impromptu. We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, so I don't know. To me, I didn't really have any doubts about Mac Jones being the guy this year. I've never been the Bailey Zappe guy. I didn't care that he had a good half against the Packers, and then he turned back into a pumpkin the following week. So it doesn't. Bailey Zappe was always just an quarterback.
Yeah. So I think you're correct in that the inherent risk in Mac Jones is the same whether or not Zappe is there, because right. I think the way that people could interpret this move is like, This is a note of confidence to nod of confidence to Mac Jones in the case of you can go out there and play like shit and not get benched, which I don't think is the case, whether or not Zappy's there. I still think his level of play needs to be decent, right? At least like 500 level, average quarterback play for him to not get benched after a run of games, right?
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think he has that type of leash with the staff. Now, I believe in his talent. I don't think he's going to play that poorly. I don't think that he's, like, last year, I don't think that he was the real problem of the offense. Now, he wasn't out there, like, carrying or anything.
Yeah.
But, like, there was a lot of problems with the offense. It wasn't just like a Mac Jones, well, we have a better quarterback, all of a sudden, all of our problems are solved.
That's though where I think he's only going to go as far as weapons take him and the scheme takes him. And to me, the weapons and scheme just still aren't there yet. So, I mean, look, I think he'll have a good quarterback two season, like a mid to late quarterback two. It's nice to have him on your roster as like your third quarterback, I think. I don't know if I really want him as my second quarterback if I'm like a competitive team. But I don't know. Like, let me look at his price. I think he's like actually kind of fine to just go trade for, though.
I agree. We traded him for him in our orphan league. And one of the things I will say is that the bar for Mac Jones is not the bar it is for the other quarterbacks. You're not buying Mac Jones to come out here and be a QB1. But if he goes out there and finishes QB 15 or 16 on the season, puts up 3,700, 3,800 yards and has a decent touchdown to interception ratio, his price is going to go back into the first round, or at least in that mix-in paradox where Derek Carr kind of enters after good seasons. So,
the price tag for Mac Jones is cheap. I'm looking at Mac Jones for Cortland Sutton straight up, Mac Jones for Gabe Davis straight up, These are super flex, by the way. I'm looking right now.
Yeah, so he's like a mid-second.
Yeah. he literally traded for a second multiple times. Hendon Hooker in a second for Mac in a different one. And then you do have like 2025 first occasionally thrown in there that were traded for Mac Jones straight. But for the most part, it looks like he is firmly in that second round rookie draft ranking.
Which I think is a good move. I think if you pay a mid-second, or you have to do, even like if you're a contender second, a contender third, I think is a decent deal. I think you start to lose some of the edge on the trade in that case, but still it's a move that I think is fine, especially if you need a quarterback that you can play like a QB3, because then I think it's a good investment. QB3 probably has a much higher chance of being able to be moved into a first than that late second and late third will.
Yeah. Yeah. Lastly for the Patriots, this one was, let me just make sure too. This one was in doubt for a little bit, I would say. Boutte did end up making the cut. And
yeah, so LSU wide receiver as well. Yeah, they both did. Mm-hmm. Kayshon Boutte was arguably number one receiver 2 or 3 years ago, this draft class, maybe 2 years ago, right? Those initial reports were terrible, and he makes the 53. I mean, JT, you're more of a Boutte guy. Do you think that he... I don't think he's going to come out there immediately and do anything. I don't think he's going to see the field that much off rip. But as we think is going to happen, this Patriots receiving corps is fucking awful. And then you're going to give them snaps and targets at some point. It might not be a lot, but they're going to have a chance, right? They're going to be like, okay, Kendrick Bourne, sit one play, right? Like, you go out here. Do you think either of these guys, good investments? Are you excited about it? I know you were used to be a Boutte guy, at least. Like, still a chance?
I mean, much less of a chance these past few months than what we're seeing. I will say this is probably the best case scenario for them because, I mean, when you look at this team, we're talking ahead of them are Juju, Devontae Parker, and Kendrick Bourne, I would say, is like the starting three, and then Tyquan Thornton's in the mix. I think Tyquan Thornton, I mean, you were with me on draft day. We did the draft stream. I thought that was a terrible pick at the time. He's kind of just a gadget guy. I'm not really concerned about him, per se. So, look, they're going to get their run. Do they do anything with it? I don't know, but the Patriots do have a very good track record of just having those late round wide receivers / undrafted wide receivers come out and do good things for this team. And with what's in front of them, I mean, give them as much run as you want, because realistically, how much better can Kendrick Bourne be than either of these guys? Not a whole lot, right? Kendrick Bourne's not starting for most of the other NFL teams.
I think you're doing Kendrick Bourne a little dirty.
Look, he's like, he gets into a wide receiver 3 spot for
half the league. He's the perfect barometer, though. He's the perfect barometer of are you fantasy relevant or not? Are you a potential over 750-yard guy or not? Because that's, to me, what Kendrick Bourne is. He's like a dude who's only going to give you like a Mac Hollins kind of year, maybe a little bit more, like on a... on a good year, on a good offense, he'll put up 800 yards. But, yeah, you're right. He's not a consistent option for you. But he's still a decent receiver. He's not a bad player. He's just not fantasy relevant. So I think he's like the perfect barometer. If you're better than Kendrick Bourne, then you definitely have potential.
His career year was actually 2021 when he hit 800 yards with the Patriots. But last year he only had 434, despite playing all 16 games.
I think I saw a report that he was playing through some sort of thing that may have been limiting him a little bit. I mean,
was it called Matt Patricia? Because then I
take understand. That with grains of salt, because I have no sources or anything. I just think I remember reading it.
Yeah.
Trey Lance trade. Let's talk about that.
Okay. I mean, as the resident Trey Lance guy, I don't feel great about it. Let me just put a time in about that. Look, I saw the writing on the wall that Trey Lance wasn't going to get traded to a place that we would want him to get traded to, because it logically didn't make sense for a team with a question mark at quarterback to just wait the entire training camp, then trade for him, and then be like, go out there and compete, right? Like, that just wasn't going to happen. So after the first week of training camp, it's toast. And I mean, it was clear that Trey Lance wasn't going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Brock Purdy just had the job. You know, he was healthier than we all thought he was going to be. He walked into training camp, had the job. So now, one, I guess that's very good news for Brock Purdy, because now you have a starting quarterback in a Kyle Shanahan offense. All he's got to do is be the game manager. Do I think he's going to be a good long-term play? No, but for this year, that's pretty good, because I think he was like scoring 18 plus fantasy points per game during his stretch. So if he could get anywhere around that, that is very good for what you invested in him. But back to Trey, going to Dallas, being behind Dak Prescott, it's not great, because first, I don't think the Cowboys can really get out of Dak Prescott until 2025. And truthfully, I don't know why they would, because, I mean, he's been good for the Cowboys. Like, I think anyone who's saying he's not good for the Cowboys just is a Cowboy hater. I think what we're looking at with Trey Lance is, and this is why I would have liked him to go to, like, the Chargers or the Chiefs, like, right, where he's, like, with Kellen Moore and learning with Kellen Moore, or where he's with Andy Reid and learning there. This is just going to be a developmental year for Trey Lance.
Dude, and you don't think going to Mike McCarthy isn't great for development? I mean, dude, he's one of the pioneers of the West Coast.
I think it's okay.
In the modern game.
I think it's okay, right? But just from pure optics, right? Your Trey Lance stocks are kind of just...
Your Trey Lance stocks, yes. This is like the worst outcome.
Yeah. You can't spin it currently. Where if he did go to the Chiefs, that's an easy spin, right? It's like, oh, he's with Andy Reid.
He's easy gonna learn. Spin.
Yeah. You can make that. You can turn that, twist it, and turn it however you want. Like, if he goes to the Vikings, great. Oh, they're gonna get out from Kirk Cousins. He's got a bad deal. They're gonna give Trey Lance his shot. Plus, their backup quarterbacks have been trash anyway. So, like, if Kirk Cousins gets hurt, like,
that would have been a meme. That would have been such a meme if he went to the Vikings.
Well, that was Viking fans wanted him. That was kind of the rumor for a while that he was going to go to the Vikings. That never happened. So with the Cowboys, it's kind of just sit and wait. I mean, you're just going to have to stash the guy on your roster for a year. I'm not trading him for whatever. It's kind of the same thing that happened with Sky Moore this offseason. Maybe I should take advantage and just trade him. But when Lunas was hitting that panic button halfway through the season, three quarters of the way through the season, it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, like, I recognize that this is a very bad situation for Sky Moore, now talking about Trey Lance, but it's going to get better. There is going to be a bright spot and a window where you, if you truthfully are out, you're going to be able to trade. So right now's not the time. Now's not the time to trade him. If you want to buy him, I wouldn't be opposed. I should pull up what recent trades have happened with Trey Lance. Let's see if we could get any recent ones. Because, I mean, anything, like, if it's a third, sure. I mean, I'll trade a third for, you're not getting a quarterback that exciting in the third round of a rookie draft. Let's see. Recent Trey Lance trades. Lance in a third for Will Levis. I think I'd rather Lance. We don't even know if Will Levis is the second quarterback on the Titans. Trey Lance for a third, exactly what I'm looking for. Trey Lance in a fourth for a second, I think that's a little high. When did Trey Lance get traded? Do we know what day it was?
No. It's at least more than 3 days ago.
Okay, well, this was only 2 days ago. I mean, it's looking like, as I'm going through these trades, like, he's either a late second or an early third. And I think at that price, it's just worth the price of admission, because you still have that electric guy who can run the ball. And he would be the biggest bust in the NFL if he never got any more starts at quarterback. He's going to get more starts at quarterback. It's just how the position works with the draft capital and everything. There's going to be other opportunities for Trey Lance.
Yeah, his price is pretty low. I like those moves. Bills would have been an interesting landing spot for Lance. I like this Cowboys landing spot, to be honest with you. And it's for a lot of the reasons you were saying about the other teams, but I just think that this is a great spot for him. If you're treating this as a developmental year, this is, I think, one of the best spots. Mike McCarthy is a fantastic offensive coach. I mean, this guy will, and I from what I've heard, right, he's the type of dude that will teach his quarterbacks, right? He's, you know, he's the head coach, but he wants to be in that fucking QB room and really get along with these quarterbacks, right? And really teach them game. Where I'm not really sure you get that at some of these other places. So where I'm questioning it is Dallas's motives a little bit beyond, okay, let's have a good backup quarterback. Because I think teams are starting to value the backup quarterback more, right? We've seen it pan out for a couple of teams when you never think it would. Jalen Hurts is probably the best example, where it's like,
oh yeah,
you never thought you were going to be in the spot you are now, but you're glad you bought for the second, right? You get Lance for a fourth. You know, you just, a lot can change in a year. NFL stands for what? Not for long.
Mm-hmm.
If Lance gets an, Dak has gotten injured basically every year since, you know, that those dominant early seasons he had. I feel like Trey Lance is going to play for the Cowboys this year. He's going to suit up for a game. He's going to play.
I can totally see
this
that.
This is a good offense. Not that the 49ers weren't a good offense, but shit, like, give him half the season, if not more, let's say, before Dak gets hurt. Let's say Dak gets hurt week 11. You give him more time to kind of just, like, figure it out. Maybe they, I don't know, like, try to spit some optimism here.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is, like, I think at the end of the day, what Trey Lance is really lacking and what he's not going to get unless Dak gets hurt is the live in-game reps, where, because we know the physical traits are there, right? We know he's good. And we know that when he's able to play, the mental traits are there too, because he didn't throw a pick in college, so, or in that season. So when we have, like, the full Trey Lance experience and he's getting the reps and everything, like, that's going to be the best for Trey Lance. But that's not going to be happening unless Dak gets hurt. But from the Cowboys' perspective and their motives, right, like, now you have this really good guy on your roster who, even if he's not providing you value on the field live in games, right, he's a very good scout quarterback to mimic Jalen Hurts, to mimic Daniel Jones, who likes to tuck it and run, albeit awkwardly. But he can do a lot to just give your actual defense a look, a defense that you're going to be relying on a lot this year against a very good division. I'm all for the trade for the price of a fourth round pick, because when you look at, like, who gets traded this year, it's Jake Haener, Stetson Bennett, and Aiden O'Connell, who actually, to be fair, was good in preseason. That was the fourth rounders this year. And then you go back in time and it's Bailey Zappe, it's Ian Book, it's Jacob Eason, James Morgan. Like, there's,
yeah,
no,
it's not like any of these dudes.
There's no, yeah, there's no fourth round quarterback.
And to be honest, with how the Cowboys have used a lot of their later round selections, I feel like it's not terrible for them to start throwing them away. They're kind of like, we hit in the first and second round kind of team. That's just how they do.
Lance is a developing deal.
Not that they have.
I agree, Joe.
But yeah.
Bills would have been an interesting landing spot for Lance. Yeah, that would have. I mean, that's an easier one to spin too, because I don't know.
I'm just wondering, because this is what I kind of felt like when I saw Lance play in the preseason, right? It's a dude that was scared to lose instead of eager to win. You know, the quarterback position is very mental. This trade might just kind of be what he needed. He may have just needed to not be in San Francisco, not be with that staff, right? Not have the expectations of being that number three pick, because I want to see Trey Lance play like he has, not that he has nothing to lose, but where he's kind of just throwing the ball and trusting his arm a little bit more, right? Going out there and fucking slinging it. Because we saw that when he first started playing for the Niners in the preseason, right? We saw that when he first started playing for the Niners in camp. He was making those throws. You know, he was more confident. We need that Lance back if he's going to succeed. In that preseason game, I mean, he's just turning down wide open players. And it's not like he's not seeing it. He's seeing it. He's just not trusting his arm to throw it, right? He's not trusting what he's seen. He's not comfortable in the offense. Like, and that's just the difference, right? Darnold and Purdy are just letting it rip there. But let's see Lance if he plays again where he's like, dude, you know what? Fuck it. I'm coming out here. I've got the talent. I'm letting this thing fucking loose. I've got a cannon. That's what I want to see. And I think that's the only way that Trey Lance gets back to being valued at what he was and being who he was drafted to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was another episode talking Trey Lance. I think this will be our last one, though, until he steps onto the NFL field. So let's get back to just a couple last cuts. Dwayne McBride cut. This one, I mean, you put it down here for surprising. I was actually very surprised by Dwayne McBride getting cut because I thought he had a chance of, like, breaking into the starting rotation.
Yeah, he just had a really bad preseason in camp. Got destroyed. I'm also surprised that this team has not brought in a running back to supplant a little bit, because I look around the league and I'm pointing to the Vikings. This is the worst running back room in the league. And I'm not sure it's close. I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head that's even close.
I'm struggling because, like, while the Dolphins and the Bears don't have, like, a big name guy either, similar to, like, Alexander Mattison not being a big name guy, I think they just have a lot of depth.
Who are you picking?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bears and Dolphins. I'm taking the Bears and Dolphins exactly. Running back room.
And, like, did you even have to think about it?
No, not really.
The Bears and Dolphins might not be that much better, but shit, I'd still pick them, and I don't really have to think about it.
Like, the Bucs one is interesting, because I'm not that big on Rashad White.
I'm not really either, like Sean and Tucker. That's what goes to show you about how bad this Vikings running back is.
I think the Bucs.
I'd still take him over Madison.
I think the Bucs, the Rams are intriguing, depending on what kind of Cam Akers you get, especially behind that offensive
line. Okay, yeah, the thing is, that running game might just really suck, because I would think I'd still take Akers, but that offensive line in LA, I think, is going to be really atrocious.
Oh, and I mean, to be fair, the Colts without Jonathan Taylor is just disgusting.
Yeah, but I'm counting Jonathan Taylor as being on the roster. Okay.
Yeah, all right. That is one of the worst, and it is surprising that they haven't brought a running back in. They haven't even visited, right? Like, we haven't had Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, any of those guys visit.
Yeah, they don't care.
All right. I mean, they are, like, known to be, like, the analytical team, right? So, like, makes sense.
Listen, I think that Keenan Wongwu is good, but he's not the guy getting reps. It seems like it's the two dudes I didn't like in Madison and Ty Chandler.
Chandler, yeah.
So it looks like, no, Ty Chandler, I didn't really, but he did flash some potential. At least maybe he's honed that in. He's developed a little bit, because he had some really good plays at UNC. It's just a complete lack of consistency. Mm-hmm. Similar to, like, a Pierre Strong, right? Pierre Strong is, he has his great plays, and his great plays are amazing, but then he has a huge stretch of he's completely dog shit.
I was never big
a lot on why he's Strong. Traded.
Yeah, I was never big on Pierre Strong, and we didn't really have the chance to talk about him because was traded before we do the breakdown. I don't think he really is going to mean that much for the Browns either, to be fair. I just don't think he's touching the field.
Yeah, so last thing that's interesting before we get into just UDFAs to make rosters, Kansas City Chiefs keeping 7 receivers. I mean, we think that, like, oh, what if they only keep 5? Now they keep 7. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean... At some point, I think they're going to have to cut bait with a few of them just to make room for other positions of need when injuries happen. But, I mean, you have injuries already there with Kadarius Toney being hurt. And I think they're kind of just at the point of, well, we don't, similar to the Patriots, how they have like 6 wide receivers there as well. None of them are that great, so we might as well just keep a bunch and just start rotating them, and, you know, maybe we just wear out the other team, and then we could do chunk plays that way. Because unless Kadarius Toney proves me wrong and is able to stay on the field and was worthy of his first round talent, this team truly lacks a top wide receiver. I mean, Sky Moore was what some predicted to be that. That's not the case, at least not yet. This is
they got Kelce. He's the dude. They got Kelce.
True.
They give 100 targets to their running back, split across multiple running backs.
True. Yeah, Jerick McKinnon is prized again to have a solid year where.
Like that running back is basically a wide receiver too in that offense, like a low end wide receiver too. Combined that running back spot, right? They gave spot, like 110 targets last year. That's what George Pickens is getting. You know, like
I don't even know if George Pickens is getting that many.
Oh, that's what I'm like projecting him to get this year. Okay. Maybe he gets like 120, right? But that kind of player to me.
Yeah, they did. I'm looking at the targets right now. They threw it to the running back position, yeah, basically 110 times. Yeah, this is one of these, like, I don't know if any of these Chiefs wide receivers are going to get 100 targets this year.
No, it's scary. I think Sky Moore probably has the best chance. Looking off of how they've been getting reps, like, yeah, Tony's a wild card, but I think that as of right now, the one receiver, there's two receivers I think that there's just a clear plan for the Chiefs from, and it's Sky Moore and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Those are the two dudes that I can, like, pretty, at least in my mind, project as to what the plan is going to be with them. Tony and these other dudes is like, if they're available, cool, we'll try it out. You know, yeah. Like, Tony, Justin Ross, this guy, that guy, right? Like, fuck it. Maybe we need a spark somewhere.
MVS did have 81 targets last year.
Now, I'm wondering if he gets more targets this year, though, because they have, like, way worse, but just different receivers than last year, right? Like, you don't have a Juju now. You don't have who are some of the other guys that they don't have this year now?
Is it Mecole just Hardman? Is
yeah, Mecole Hardman's another one. I'm just wondering, because of the rapport that MVS has, if he's a dude that gets another target per game, and then all of a sudden that might make him a flex relevant player.
I just think his position is too gadgety for him to, like, his role in that offense is too gadgety for him to be worthy of that flex role.
That's the hilarious thing. That's how it is for every single receiving option not named Kelce right now. That's the thing, is that they're other than, like, Sky Moore, because I think Sky Moore is going to be a guy that's, you know, a primary option on any RPOs they run, a dude that, you know, he's going to be used on those crossers, but be kind of one of the, like, intermediate to underneath kind of guys. And he's a dude that might just soak up a decent amount of targets because he's in that role, right? Especially if teams are focusing a lot of their resources on Kelce in those areas of the field. But, yeah, everyone's just a gadget guy. Because, like, you have Richie James, too. He's a wild card. He's a good player, Richie James. He's not bad. He's probably going to see playing time. You know, does he eat into everyone's roles? It's just a cluster.
Justin Watson. Another guy, Justin Ross, too. I mean, he's a complete wild card, because if you get freshman season Clemson with Justin Ross, then he could be the number one wide receiver. But if you get any, like, unhealthy Justin Ross as of late, he's going to barely be on the field.
Yeah, they don't have Dwayne Bowe. That would have been a really interesting connection. Mahomes to Dwayne Bowe.
There was that year where Alex Smith just didn't pass to throw a passing touchdown to his wide receivers.
Yeah, remember those days, the Chiefs? They were that team, and now look at them.
Yeah, very different times. I'm pulling up Dwayne Bowe's stats right now. Yeah, he was roughly, I mean, in his first few years in Kansas City, he was like 100. He was like 140 plus target guy in Kansas City at first.
He was a stud.
In 2010, he had 133 targets, 15 touchdowns. Insane.
Hold on, I'm bringing up the screen for this UDFA thing.
Okay, good call, because I pulled up here. Okay. I feel like there's only a few that I would want to touch on, but
yeah, we don't have to touch on all these guys. I figured I'd bring up the list though. Get out of here. Okay. Shout out the Phantom Zone on Dynasty FF subreddit for this post. Appreciate it. Putting together. So this is a list of UDFAs that have made the initial 53-man roster. I'll go through the list right now, and then we can talk about the guys that we find most interesting. So okay. We have Malik Heath, wide receiver for the Packers. Elijah Dotson, a running back for the Chargers. Tyson Begent, quarterback for the Bears. Sean Tucker, running back for the Bucks. Rakeem Jarrett, wide receiver for the Bucks. Jaleel McLaughlin, running back for the Broncos. Jason Brownlee, wide receiver for the Jets. Elijah Cooks, a wide receiver for the Jaguars. Skipping over Justin Ross. Kyrus Jackson, a wide receiver on the Titans. Did not know he exists. He's the only one on this list that I have not heard of. Emmanuel Wilson, running back on the Packers. Keaton Mitchell, running back on the Ravens. Jake Bobo, wide receiver on the Seahawks. Xavier Gibson, wide receiver on the Jets. Irv Charles, wide receiver on the Jets. Amari DiMercato, running back, on the Cardinals. Mitchell Tinsley, wide receiver on the Commanders. He put the Commies, which I find hilarious. Mm-hmm. Curtis Hodges, a tight end on the Commies. Hunter Lepke is a fullback. And then Chris Brooks, running back of the Dolphins. Interesting names on here. I think easily the most interesting is probably Sean Tucker, because out of all these dudes, he's the only guy I think that's really seen significant time with the ones.
He also fits that mold of he fell due to medical, not because he was bad prospect. So yeah, I mean, very murky backfield ahead of him. I think he's definitely going to be the one to produce from this list.
Well, I do think that some of these other running backs, right? A Jaleel McLaughlin on the Broncos, a Elijah Dotson on the Chargers.
Dotson I find intriguing.
And then DiMercato for the Cardinals. I think it's too late now, but there were points in the season, like myself, where I picked some of these guys up for free, just kind of using the Skull Dynasty strat. And these dudes are relatively interesting. Definitely, you know, if you're a dynasty manager, you're just excited to have them on the team and see if they can eventually get a shot to start earning some carries, or maybe one injury could ignite them.
Well, I'll say, and just, I'm going to write off basically all the wide receivers, right? Like, other than Justin Ross, who I don't even know if he really counts, I'm not too interested in these wide receivers. I think those running backs that you mentioned are definitely people I'd want on my roster, specifically Elijah Dotson.
One thing I will say is that the Jets keeping a shit ton of random receivers, I do think is potentially interesting. If one of them just gets a shot late in the season, not that you can really do anything about it now, but I feel like, dude, every year come that playoff time, right, you have the injuries piled up. One of these types of guys gets a shot, and I feel like the Jets could be that type of team.
That is the team I'd point to, yes. Are we trusting Aaron Rodgers to throw to these wide receivers off their undrafted rookie year? That's kind of where I'm...
Just needs a good connection, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers has meshed with some random-y kind of players before. It's just... It's not easy to do, right? You got to be pretty fucking good at football to do that.
And it's still going to be hard to break in, because while it's not a stellar wide receiver room, you have Randall Cobb, who is his guy, Alan Lazard, who's kind of been his guy, and then obviously Garrett Wilson, and then I guess Mecole Hardman would be the wide receiver four. Maybe it's Cobb who's the four and Mecole Hardman's up, but he's going to be on the playing field. Like, you have four wide receivers solidly ahead of you, so you're not going to be seeing a whole lot of playing time.
Right. I think one guy that is especially interesting is Emmanuel Wilson, the running back on the Packers.
Okay. That's you.
That, to me, is an interesting player, because you talk about another organization that has a lot of running backs historically kind of just come out of nowhere. And, you know, him making the roster with Aaron Jones is going to be phased out at some point. A.J. Dillon... Now, I believe in A.J. Dillon. I think that he's a good player. But I think, generally speaking, he had a little bit of a down year last year. Just kind of wasn't as dominant as people would have liked him to be. Didn't really take many steps forward, it felt like. I think this is a player that has a decent it seems like he has the RB3 spot kind of locked up, and you're just, you know, if AJ Dillon or Jones miss time, I think that he could get playing time to show what he's got in the regular season.
True.
Definitely a guy I would look to have rostered if I have a free spot or if he's on waivers.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I'm looking at that's probably on waivers in most leagues is Tyson Bagent. I think it's Bagent.
Yeah, apparently I didn't see that Bears preseason game at all, but apparently he was really nice.
He beat out, I mean, it's not Nathan Peterman's nothing to brag about beating, but he beat out Nathan Peterman and PJ Walker for this backup role. Justin Fields is one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league. I don't know if he actually is going to touch the field, but that's kind of one of those guys where if you're like us when we had the orphan team, or I guess we still do, and you're just looking for those lottery pick dart throw players to put on your roster who could immediately pick up a bunch of value, that's the guy I'm looking at.
Yeah.
That is the guy that I'm looking at to just stash on the roster if you have the spot.
Completely.
Oh, agree. The Chiefs did end up cutting Denarik Prince, Joe, because he was like one of those guys where they were hyping him up right away out of camp. He was doing decent when Isaiah Pacheco was out. Obviously, it is going to be hard, though, to stay on that team when they keep seven wide receivers and you're behind both Pacheco and CH. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think him and Bam Knight probably do end up on a roster somewhat soon. That's all I had to say about the undrafted free agents. Unless there's anything else you want to add.
No, I just put in a waiver claim for Tyson Bagent.
Okay, nice.
Let's get into the over-unders.
Yeah, the over-unders. Last one, AFC East, next week will be...
Is this last year?
Season one preview. I don't know.
Okay, sweet. I've got last year pulled up, I think. Yeah, get to see my nice... Oh, wow. A lot of us had a U on Zach Wilson. Yikes.
Even I had a U on Zach Wilson. And I was a Zach Wilson hater. I feel pretty good about the overrated on the...
and Josh Allen, we all had that O on.
I forgot there was a time when Josh Allen was quarterback one. That was always crazy to me.
Now, I'm pretty shocked that we all had an underrated on Tua, but I feel like that was a pretty decent call because he went from QB19. Now, his quarterback ranking may not have gone up a ton, but his startup value at least went up a round and a half because I remember picking him up in the fourth round, whereas now I see his ADP is – let me switch over to Bulletproof.
I mean, he moved from quarterback 19 to quarterback 11.
Oh, shit, yeah. He's only at 310, though. That's a little bit later than I would have expected. Mac Jones, you guys all had the O, so good call for you. I was the schmuck with the U.
Yeah, it's not your fault. It's Patricia's.
I guess James Cook, we all put overrated, but his price gone up a little bit. We all put an overrated on Ramondre. Man, at RB36, that's hilarious.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's really rough. I'll have the underrated on Breece Hall.
I think you're going to have to scroll down for the YouTube people.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Let's see. Dawson Knox, we all had overrated on, which is pretty good. He actually had carried some pretty good value at that point. But then we all put the underrated on Mike Gesicki and Hunter Henry.
Not all of us.
Yikes. Oh, yeah. You had the overrated. Was that you? Nice, yeah. Dude. Good call on the Mike Gesicki.
Fraud.
And what's funny too is I traded Mike Gesicki last year in like all my leagues, yet I put an underrated on him. I guess I'm not practicing when I preach. Am I a fraud? Gabriel Davis got an O on. I mean, I guess his price has kind of gone back up, but he had a shitty year last year.
I don't think it's gone up at all. I think he's low right now. Hey, wide receiver 48. I guess it was a redraft where I was looking where he is low.
Dude, wait, this is hilarious. Everyone had an underrated on Tyquan Thornton except for me, but I feel like I'm the one dude who's liked Tyquan Thornton the past year at all in the pod. Like,
yeah, I don't, look, I don't want to give away what's about to happen in our breakdown this for this year, but he's getting a big fat O from me. And he's gone down.
Everyone except for you, we had underrated on all the Jets. Scroll down. Okay. Right. Let's get into the new stuff.
Okay.
Oh, whoops. Here we go.
Josh Allen's a tough one. Because, I mean, I don't think he should be quarterback one. But I think he should be the second overall drafted player. I guess I'm just going to put an O. But, like, I don't... That's fine.
No, I'm going to put a U. I think at the end of the day, at that value, if you're able to pick up Josh Allen in basically any trade, it's a win. So, whatever. Yeah, we agree on the Dolphins. All overrated on Tua, Mike White, and Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, I don't care about the backup quarterbacks, regardless of Tua's injury, but Tua is not a top 12 quarterback.
I don't hate this for Tua, because I look at it, if I pick up Tua at that 310 startup pick, I'm not really too unhappy about that type of pick. But fact of the matter is, should Tua be priced probably, what, a first-round pick over a guy like Mac Jones? I'm not convinced. I really am not. That you can't put Mac Jones in the Dolphins offense and throw it to fucking Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Come on.
You're also not getting rushing production out to a, like, you're not getting, I mean, he did have 21.3 points per game last year, but, like, that's what Kirk Cousins gives you, like, year in and year out. That was a high for Tua, and that's what Kirk Cousins gives you every year. So
yeah, we both have the U on Mac Jones. We both still believe in Mac Jones.
I just think, like, starting quarterback guaranteed for the full season, he's going to give you solid numbers with the upside of maybe Bill O'Brien just makes him really
good. Oh, you want to hear my take for this year? How about this? Here's a take. Put this one in your pipe and smoke it. Mac Jones is this year's Daniel Jones. You get the new offensive coordinator that runs a non-complete dog shit offense. Lack of talent around him, but he comes out here. Mac Jones can put up a QB14 kind of season. If he plays really well, he has to play phenomenally well, but he could. So yeah, I mean, Mac Jones is the this year Daniel Jones.
The thing about, like, Daniel Jones, I just think he's wildly overrated right now for not really doing, like, yeah. I don't, other than the Giants making the playoffs and winning a playoff game, which, like, good for Daniel Jones and the Giants. Like, it's not like he was great fantasy-wise, yet he's, like, QB 16.
I don't think he's, like, wildly overpriced or anything. I just don't really want to invest in him at that price when I would much rather invest in what I believe are the truly elite quarterbacks for much more. And then if I wanted a quarterback in that tier, I think I would go for one that I feel like has more value upside. Like maybe like a Kenny Pickett, right? Where, and now maybe it's too late because the hype has gotten crazy, but I feel like there was points over the course of Kenny Pickett's career where you could have gotten Kenny Pickett for a very late first type of price. And he could easily be a guy that you sell for a mid first at some point over the season if the Steelers come out and play really well. Even like a Brock Purdy, right? I'm not the biggest Brock Purdy guy in the world, but the fact of the matter is I started looking at the prices for what he did and the fact that you can pick this guy up for less than a first-round pick, sure. Whereas for Daniel Jones, I have to give up the mid-first. I have to, if not a late first and a second. That's the kind of prices that he's commanding.
He's ranked around Kenneth Walker, Josh Jacobs, DK, Drake London. That's just a crazy price for Daniel Jones.
Josh Palmer, the most underrated wide receiver. I think he is being underrated right now. I don't think he's the most underrated receiver in the NFL because I think that his skill set is a little bit too limited, right? He's not a guy that can really do it all. You kind of just want to throw it to him up top against the sideline, I feel like.
Yeah, the problem with Josh Palmer is And Johnson's going to be that wide receiver three in short time. And then now you got to break in against a first-round drafted rookie wide receiver, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Like, you're just hoping for an injury at that point to break in for Josh Palmer. And people forget he's Canadian.
He's underrated.
People forget Canadian.
Because I think if you just do a simple that, like, his talent versus what people are looking at him as, like, you look at the season he had last year, yeah, there's reasons why he had, I guess, inflated numbers, but that's completely priced in and more with the Quentin Johnston move. So I don't disagree with that whatsoever. I'm just, it's at what point, like, okay, he's underrated, but by how much? Is he underrated by he's going to come out here and be a wide receiver too? I don't think so. Is he underrated in terms of he's priced as a guy that isn't going to be on a roster, yet he could put up 700 yards? Sure.
Do I believe he belongs on a roster? Yeah, but would I rather have, like, the backup running back on my team? Like, I think I'm just taking most Damian backup Harris. Running backs on my team.
Oh, really? Would you Palmer. Rather have Josh Palmer?
Damian Harris is a weird one because I don't know if he's – I don't know what that running back room actually
– Dude, as a contender, I'd much rather take the swing on Damian Harris.
Even if, like, Latavius Murray is still in Buffalo, right? We're about to get to
that. I don't give a fuck about Latavius Murray.
If Latavius Murray is the backup running back, I do. I would. I don't know who the backup running back is currently for Buffalo.
All right, well, oh wait, have we even gotten to them yet? So Aaron Rodgers, Zach Wilson. We both have the U on Aaron Rodgers. I think this is simply from a contender perspective. Actually, I'm going to switch it to an O for the segment.
I haven't.
Look back on it and feel good.
Well, I think he's still going to play for a few years, and I'm surprised we haven't seen more of a Hard Knocks bump from Aaron Rodgers, because that's basically just like a PR. Like, a whole it's an Aaron Rodgers puff piece currently going on with Hard Knocks, which I think drops again tonight. I think he's going to have a very good year in New York, and I think if he has another 2 years ahead of him as well, quarterback 24, I think that's underrated.
Yeah, with Zach Wilson, we both have the overrated. I mean, I'm definitely still – I like Zach Wilson out of the draft. Fact of the matter is that how many players from his spot come back and become a starting quarterback? I think it's, like, extremely few. So you're betting on an outlier. I've sold him for thirds in some of these in another orphan league that I took over. I think I'd rather just bet on the third.
Yeah. I mean, Geno Smith's, like, the one that comes to mind who's had a resurgence. But you're just going to have to wait. Like, Geno Smith could have been picked up off waivers for –
Yeah, like Geno. So there's Geno Smith, and then how many others? You know, like how many other first round
type? That's the thing. I think usurped. I think it's more likely he ends up on waivers in your league before he ends up carving out a nice role for himself.
The only thing that I'm questioning now, the problem is that I just don't want to lock up a roster spot and wait this long for such a speculative investment. Is if you wait, kind of, and Jordan Love it around, and then he goes up to, like, that territory where he's in the fight for a starting quarterback spot, right? They sign another veteran, maybe, like, Jimmy G 2 years from now, when he's in, like, Andy Dalton tier. And then he's competing with him. It's like, that might boost his price to a point where it's double, triple, quadruple what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, like, you can definitely say is a lot of wishful thinking.
Agreed. Yeah, there's a lot has to break his way for him to be worth much. Palmer is easily the wide receiver three right now. Joe, this is just like you with Kyle Phillips. It's the Chargers didn't just draft Quinn Johnston in the first round for Josh Palmer to be taking his spot. It's just not happening. It's not happening. It's Quinn Johnston. I'm not concerned in the slightest of Josh Palmer.
All right, let's get into these running backs. James Cook, Damian Harris, Nyheim Hines, who's, like, kind of destroyed, and then Latavius Murray.
Not going to lie, you're asking about the running back rooms. This one might be worse. I don't like this running back.
Dude, there's no way. There's no way that Damian Harris, James Cook is worse than Alexander Mattison, Ty Chandler.
I don't want any of them.
Dude, Damian Harris was a former Patriot. Put up like 1,000 yards for y'all.
And yeah,
like
so was Sony Michel. So was
true.
Jonas Gray. Jonas Gray didn't put up 1,000 yards. But I mean,
he put up 1,000 in one game. Like, yeah.
Anyone can do it for the Patriots and then just fade to obscurity.
Former number one overall high school recruit Damian Harris.
I'm putting you on Latavius Murray just because I think he sees the field and he's at 362. Yeah, look, Damian Harris was okay on the Patriots. He had that good run a couple years ago. Good run of games, I'd say. Not just a single run. But yeah, at this point, I think this is going to be the definition of a running back by committee room. And at the end of the day, Josh Allen is also there to poach touchdowns from this team. And James Cook is the only one who I'd say can catch passes. Naheem Hines can, but how much is Naheem Hines going to see the field?
He's completely he's out for the.
Oh, yeah, yeah, wait, yeah, true. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I don't want anybody.
I think James Cook is probably going to come out here and have a good season, but I don't think he's really that great of a running back, so I'm going to put an O. It's probably just take lock for my pre-draft evaluation of him, but I haven't really seen anything to move it, so fuck it.
Yeah, I'm not relying on James Cook.
I'll invest in other running backs. I don't need James Cook to win championships.
All right, now the Dolphins backfield. Look, I like A-Chain, but I just don't know if he's capable of carrying the workload. Then the question of who's the backup running back for the Dolphins, or maybe the starter, honestly, because I don't know if
A-Chain I think everyone's undervalued here, to be completely honest with you. Because I like A-Chain a lot long-term, and I think that come a year or two from now, he has a really good chance of being the dominant share of the backfield, or at least like in a spot where he's in like an Antonio Gibson kind of role. But I don't think that's going to happen at the start of the year or this season for that matter, right? Like Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson were good last year. I'd probably rather have Mostert, but Jeff Wilson's younger, so I could definitely see the argument, right?
The problem with this team is, I mean, they're in that conversation of getting Dalvin Cook. They're in the conversation of getting Jonathan Taylor. I just think this is a team that is going to get another running back at some point. I mean, maybe it's not this year and maybe you ride it out, but if I could take that A-Chain and move him into Aaron Rodgers, who, if you look up there, is only a couple hundred Keep Trade Cup points ahead.
I don't love that process, though, because you can use the same argument against Jalen Hurts, and I think I did to an extent myself, right? Where it's like, oh, the Eagles are rumored to be in for Russell Wilson and this deal and that deal, and it just never worked out. It's like, oh, well, the writing's on the wall for Jalen Hurts. He's not going to be the starter long-term. Then it comes out and he's winning MVPs. I think what matters is...
Yeah, but I mean, how many times does that happen?
And I honestly think that Raheem Mostert is a good running back. I don't know about the age.
Oh, look, yeah, I think at this point, they're probably not getting anyone. And so I think Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson are good. But I'm not writing the Dolphins out from getting someone next year, you know, making A-Chain worthless. This is me only focusing on A-Chain at this point, right?
Yeah, I think A-Chain's a good running back.
I think we agree with her.
But I don't believe he's going to come out year one and tear it up.
Well, that's the problem, because I think at this point he's kind of priced like he's going to do pretty good. I mean, look at him compared to, if you look down a little bit, Dalvin Cook. Like, he's compared, obviously age is a big factor, but with running backs and that being kind of you only having like a 5-year window, if you're already not doing much in your first year and you're getting threatened by other running backs supplanting you, I'd just rather move it into a much safer asset like these quarterbacks who are.
I mean, dude, Dalvin Cook is so underpriced there. A late second
for Dalvin okay, Cook. Well,
as a contender all day.
I really like Ramondre Stevenson, but RB13 still...
It's not... I don't know. I think that this is pretty fair for him. The issue I have is that I think Ramondre Stevenson, his arc is going to be like a Jacobs, where he's just going to hang in this 4,700 to like 5,000 kind of price tag. And he, without literally like breaking the fucking rushing record, doesn't have the super upside. And it's simply because to have the super upside, you're, as a running back, you need to be flawless. You need to be the first round pick. That I get all the receptions, that this, that that, right? Like, I mean, even fucking Saquon Barkley still has a lot of haters. And it's like, what else do you want the guy to do, right? Like, so I think Ramondre at this price tag, if you can trade for him as a contender, extremely fair to just buy and hold, right? Just hold till the wheels go off. And I think that you can have, you know, similarly, a hero RB strat around Ramondre Stevenson, I also think is a good strat where, like, instead of drafting one in the second round, you wait a little bit, pick up your Garrett Wilson in the second round, and then come around fourth round and hit Ramondre. But the fact of the matter is that it's just like, I'm putting the U. Fuck it. I'm putting the fucking U. I've talked myself into it.
I'm just... He's a good high variance player. I'm just worried about it.
I just think he's slightly underpriced, right? Because I'm thinking about it in my head. I'm a little bit of a nerd with the keep trade cut values because I built the dynasty site. I just fucked with him so much that I know the values by heart, basically. And to me, he's more of like a 4,900 to 5,100 kind of player.
Okay. Yeah, it's just too high variance for me, though. Going into next year, he might not be.
Well, here's the thing, JT. How, like, I think we both agree that we would rather have Ramondre than Najee Harris. Am I wrong?
Yes, definitely.
How much do you value Ramondre Stevenson over Najee Harris?
Quite a bit, but I just also value Najee. I've never been a Najee Harris guy. I value him much lower than.
Okay, consensus. what about what's his name? What about, man, he's even going after Najee Harris. I thought he was going way earlier than Najee Harris.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're the problem is all these running backs in the middle. I feel like there's one or two that are always going to be good value, and then the rest are just not. And so is Ramondre Stevenson one of those one or two guys, or is he one of the rest? And to me, I lean more towards the rest.
I don't know, dude. I think I would take in Dynasty Ramondre Stevenson over Eckler. I think I'd take him over. I'd take him over Najee. I mean, let me go back to. Sorry, I'm going to screw up the screen a little bit here. Sorry. I'd take him over Kenneth Walker. I'd have a really tough decision between him and ETN. I'd probably just take ETN. And then that's where I have him, right? Like, right in the mix of Josh Jacobs, below ETN, probably around Chubb. I think I'd lean Chubb just because I'm a Chubb truther, but nonetheless. And fifth round ADP is fucking awesome. Because you're paying the Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison type price, right? The 107, 108. Yeah, that doesn't look amazing on paper, but I feel like what that does for your team competing is pretty tremendous. You get a guy that I honestly think has very underrated top 10 running back potential in scoring because of those receptions.
Yeah. Look, I don't think it's a terrible price. I'm just more likely going to say overrated than underrated. Because I think it's going to be hard for him to push any higher. Although you are saying he's in that 49 to 5,100 realm.
Yeah, well, that's why I kind of brought up the Jacobs. It's like he comes out there, puts up 2,000 yards, and goes up a smidge.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair, I don't think this Patriots offense is doing that. We're not
like, that. What is you want the guy to do? Like, like, I understand he shouldn't be freaking first round startup pick ADP, but goddamn, like I could barely get more than the first for him in one of the orphans I took over. It's like Jesus.
Yeah. All right, now the Jets.
Brees, I kind of want to put, dude.
I want to put underrated on this whole thing, and right, we could start with Breece Hall. I mean, this year, this is the problem, because I think going into next year, I'm not projecting like a great year for Breece Hall this year, because he's coming off the ACL. He's got Dalvin Cook there. I think future prospects still look very bright for Breece Hall, though, so I want him on my roster kind of thing. Dalvin Cook.
How I look at it, though, really quickly on Breece Hall is I like Breece Hall. I think this is a fine price for him. Fact of the matter is I would probably be moving off him. I think I'd rather just cash out now and move into one of those running backs that we were just talking about in that tier. If I'm a contender, right, I want to move him into Nick Chubb. I want to move him into Ramondre. I want to move him into Josh Jacobs. If I'm not a contender, then I think I just want to sell him for value. Now, it might be a little late now with the Dalvin Cook move, but that's what I did in the second, third, and 20 league, and I would have done in all the other leagues.
The thing about Breece Hall is I see a world where he's second running back off the board, high second round start, like close to first round startup pick next year. Because I think he's going to jump the likes of, I think after this year, you're going to see a dip in CMC, probably a big dip. I think A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb are both going to see dips. Anthony Richardson, I never thought was good. I think he'll see a big dip. Justin Fields, I think, will also see a dip. I think Breece Hall is that one guy who everyone's going to be like, that's that stable. It's going to be Jonathan Taylor from a couple of years ago, where it's like, that's that stable running back in a world where there's a bunch of question marks at running back, except for Bijan. Granted that Bijan has a good year. I think you're going to be seeing him go early second startup next year.
Yeah, I don't terribly disagree, because I would still, like, I'm looking at the bulletproof board right now. Breece Hall's at 208, so he's gone down a handful of picks from the Dalvin move. And this, if you were to do a startup right now, I would not be surprised if you saw Jahmyr Gibbs go ahead of him, if you saw Olave get picked ahead of him, Bryce Young, right, even like a Kyler Murray. So I think that Breece Hall, you might be able to get almost at this turn of the second and third in a startup. And that's a more favorable price. But at this 208 cost, if I'm doing a hero RB build, I'd probably just go with Gibbs or Saquon in the third. Or even like I was saying earlier, like wait till the fifth and do it with a Javonte or an ETN in the fourth, or a Ramondre in the fourth or fifth, somewhere around there. But yeah. It's almost like I wish his price was a smidge lower to really like want to hold him. But yeah, Breece Hall at the end of the day is kind of, like you said, one of those players where there's not really a wrong answer in what you do, because I think he's good enough. Like, he's not going to drop out of the top 10 running backs. He's not going to become complete dog shit. Like, there's no risk of that without major injury.
The rest of the Jets running backs, so Dalvin Cook, I think, is criminally underrated for someone who I think is going to get a good workload this year on a very good offense. I think you just hit the button there. The other two guys we do disagree on, and here's the thing. I think this is a team where both have dealt with injuries, in Breece Hall with his ACL and Dalvin Cook with his shoulder, where I think Izzy Abanaconda, when he's healthy, is going to see some run. Michael Carter, I just think, is going to end up as a trade candidate. That's more so why I have the underrated. I think he's going to end up on another team where he might be the running back to get some play, like the Vikings, for example. Does that actually happen?
I don't know. Agree with you with the underrated on Michael Carter. One thing I will say about Michael Carter, he's a gritty player. Comes from a military family. Just like kind of a grinder, right? So I don't think that he's the type of dude that's just going to like fizzle out of the league. He lands on another team. It's just unfortunate. This running back room is really fucking good.
Yeah, he's in like one of the best running back rooms in the league, if not the best. So
he's still only 24. Like, I just think cooked for Michael Carter.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to see much playing time on the Jets. But I do think there is another team who is probably, you know, ringing Joe Douglas and being like, can we have Michael Carter? Dalton Kincaid, you have underrated at tight end five. I'm assuming that more so is with the actual keep trade cut value than.
Yeah, that's just too, you know, this is one of the problems that I think a lot of people do in Dynasty is you start judging players by people that just aren't them, right? So, like, I don't terribly hate, and I actually do kind of like the grouping analysis, right, where it's like, oh, well, let's group together all 5-10 first-round picks that have left hands and see how good they are. That's just an example on top of my head, right? But when you make the query too vague and you're just like, oh, well, look at the past 7 years or 10 years in recent memory of these late first round tight ends, they all sucked. That means that Dalton Kincaid is going to suck. It's like, I don't like that analysis because now we're not even grading the player for being the player. We're grading them as a late first tight end. And I think that's a little bit of what's happening with Dalton Kincaid here. And it's kind of hilarious because you look at the reasons to draft Dalton Kincaid, and I sound like the average Dynasty Fantasy Football Redditor, tied to a great offense, has a skill set that the Bills offense has been missing since Cole Beasley, arguably the best hands in the draft, and the dude can play all over, he can run routes all over the field. How many other tight ends do that? Like, the fact that he's valued at a very late first round pick, and we're assuming tight end premium, by the way, right? Like, and this price, you can argue at me in the fucking chat, but go fuck yourself, because 60% of leagues are tight end premium. So there's more tight end of super flex leagues, at least. So this is, I just think, almost drastically mispriced.
Oh, you think drastically?
Almost.
Now you're kind of,
and Zay Flowers.
You're swaying me a little bit. My problem with him is just, I don't know if his rookie season is going to be where we see that big value boost. Because, I mean, if Kyle Pitts isn't doing it.
Well, no, Kyle Pitts did do it. It was the second season that fucked him over.
The thing is, though, Kyle Pitts had, like, best rookie season behind, I think it was Evan Ingram, who had a better rookie season. You didn't really see a whole big boost. Now, that being said, it was priced in already for Kyle Pitts. But
he was a first-round startup pick last year. Like,
The problem with Kyle Pitts or any of these tight ends, though, to be fair, is just like what's considered a very good rookie season for a tight end doesn't move the needle for fantasy, you know?
I'll agree with you with that. But at the same time, if he comes out and puts up 700 yards,
which is certainly possible,
compared to Quentin Johnston coming out and putting up 700 yards, my dude Dalton Kincaid's price goes to the freaking moon, and not that Quentin Johnson's price doesn't go up, but only like,
it might not.
He's a good receiver. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll throw him in the DJ Moore tier. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the new Pickens on the block. He made some flashy plays. Look at him. Yay.
Yeah.
But I think that Dalton Kincaid is a pretty good player, and this is, I think he should be like a 4,500 type player. Now, it's just unfortunate because there's a whole like group of players in that same area of the draft that I also think are pretty drastically underrated, right? That's like the Deontay Johnson part of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I actually think he goes a little bit before Deontay, but like Zay Flowers is another dude. I just don't think that the gap between Zay Flowers and some of those other receivers should be as big as it currently is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's.
Dawson Knox is, I'm gonna put the U on Dawson Knox solely because I'm curious to see what happens if he lands on another team.
Sure. I'm just out, though. I mean, how many situations are going to be better than the Bills?
True, right? Like, yeah, if you couldn't do it within that offense, it's where the hell is he going
to
do it?
It's funny that I'm going to agree with you with Durham Smythe being the only tight end on the Dolphins, but that still being overrated. I mean,
you can't play him. It doesn't matter. You just can't play him.
Yeah. This Patriots wide tight end room, though, that room is interesting because I think both these guys are going to be on the field, and I think at least one of them is going to have a decently productive season.
Yeah, I'll put them both as underrated, but at the same time, your upside's a wasteland, so it's not really that amazing.
Yeah.
And like, fact of the matter is that I think that they might just have a similar production number to what Tyler Conklin puts up this year, and Tyler Conklin's cheaper. But at the same time, it's like, oh, I went from 1,200 to 900. Oh, it's like, oh, look, what? Like
in the entire AFC East, I think the only one that's going to end up mattering is Dalton Kincaid.
I went from having to pay a third to probably still having to pay a third.
I don't have much to add on the Jets tight ends.
I don't either. It's just not really an attractive spot. I also think that the Jets are going to be a team that may have to block some of those tight ends to make up for their offensive line issues.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Stephon Diggs.
Is he ranked higher than Cooper Kupp? Because
I don't know on Keep Trade Cut.
I want to put an O, but at the same time, it's like, he's so good.
He can still be the wide receiver one overall. Like, there's a chance for Diggs as a wide receiver one overall. So at that point, I'm going to say under. Rest of the guys, I think, are trash. You for Trent Sherfield.
I just think that if Diggs if he gets injured, the main beneficiary, other than the big targets, would be like Trent Sherfield fills in the Diggs role, I think, and then could be fantasy relevant. He might like turn into a really high value waiver pickup midseason and could be a flex play. I think Trent Sherfield has a very good argument to be rostered.
Okay. Cedric Wilson's an interesting one because he's priced nothing.
I'm throwing the U next to Tyreek Hill simply because you get a guy that's just gonna, I still think he puts up just game breaking numbers for the receiver position. And I don't think he's the most underpriced guy because I can get Stephon Diggs, who we just talked about, for cheaper, and I can get Cooper Kupp for even cheaper. But at the end of the day, wide receiver one numbers be wide receiver one numbers. Who wins? Guys that have good point scores.
Yeah.
But like, his value is going to go down next year. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, for all the reasons, most of the reasons that you said, that's why I'm out on him, at that price.
See, I would be more out on, from a value standpoint, Jaylen Waddle. Not because I think Jaylen Waddle is a bad player, but Jaylen Waddle is priced as wide receiver 6, and he's like the only top 10 wide receiver that doesn't really command the targets of a top 10 wide receiver. And that does scare me a little bit. Yeah, he has the talent. Yeah, he's a good player. But all the receivers up here are talented.
Yeah, that's the problem. He needs to be the game-breaking kind of wide receiver, and he's a very good wide receiver.
If he keeps picking up 120 targets, he needs to be an A.J. Brown. And even A.J. Brown just went to a spot where now he's the dominant A receiver, right? So at wide receiver 6 price, yeah, you bet your ass I'm just going to tear down.
Okay, now going to the Patriots. Yeah,
this Patriots receiver. Look,
I'm looking at Juju Smith-Schuster, and I'm like, wow, wide receiver 59 for the top wide receiver on the Patriots, and I'm still putting an O.
Yeah, I think I'm putting an O.
Because, look, he had Patrick Mahomes last year. Like, are we going to see a better Juju this year? I doubt it. I don't know. Kayshon's a weird one to me.
Oh, yeah, he's tough because
I'm out on these guys.
1,400 is like a contender third. And I think I would accept a third if I got offered it for Kayshon.
Yeah. What's Justin Ross? Because I think if I can move Kayshon into Justin Ross,
He's got to be around that vet, maybe a smidge higher, maybe like a mid-30s.
If we're talking about those two guys, I think I just move my Kayshons into Ross's and gamble that way.
I think I might just bet on DeMario Douglas over Kayshon Boutte, simply because I think DeMario Douglas is higher in the pecking order currently. But at the same time, though, like Kayshon Boutte compared to a lot of these other guys is at least like exciting.
Yeah, I mean, no one at that price has the potential that Kayshon has. Because if you end up getting the player before he broke his foot or whatever he did, his ankle, whatever he messed up his foot with, if you get that guy, the guy in LSU that was keeping Terrace Marshall he put Terrace Marshall as the wide receiver too. He was threatening, like he was the guy at LSU until his injury. That's a guy that has like we're talking about him going in the first round in the NFL draft. We're talking about a guy who is in the top 12 wide receiver conversation. But between injuries, off the field issues, question marks about his work ethic, I think is what I'd say there. There's just a lot of red flags with Kayshon.
So, maybe he was humbled by it, though. He might have been humbled, true. And now he's that's with true. The Patriots.
Yeah, like, there's no other organization to
right.
put back on track.
So, I mean, one thing that is for sure is that compared to anyone not named DeMario Douglas, he at least has upside where he doesn't have to score what he's worth, where he can go out there, look pretty good, enter the Darnell Mooney territory, and then you go out there, offer Kayshon's in a second for a first, and hopefully one of the more taco-y league members accepts it.
Mm-hmm.
I totally see that as a range of outcome for Kayshon Boutte. Fact of the matter is, though, I'd rather just sell for a third currently.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, though, the one thing that you mentioned that is interesting is that you talk about an organization that has just given a lot of shots to undrafted wide receivers. I mean, it's almost like too many to be like we just happen to get a bunch of good undrafted wide receivers. Now, this is legitimately in what the organization prioritizes, is giving some of these guys more shots than other teams.
The difference is a lot of these guys are more, I'd say,
like late round guys.
I'd say the guys that were, I'd put DeMario Douglas in that mold. I was going to say they're more gadget, like Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Jacoby Myers. They're all more gadget players than DeMario Douglas and were able to really succeed in that slot role. But I think that's probably where DeMario Douglas would be on this Patriots offense.
I mean, those are the ones that have succeeded, though. There's other guys that have kind of just been given shots and opportunities. They just didn't happen to be super Kendall
Tompkins, Aaron Dobson.
And there were times, I wasn't playing Dynasty back then, but they would have been valued players, right? They would have been relevant players that would have commanded an actual price tag.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have Gronk and Aaron Hernandez there taking away all their targets. Now we have Hunter Henry and Mike Gesicki that they're competing with. So,
yeah, that definitely helps.
All right, lastly, the Jets, and then we're done with our over-unders for the year. A U on Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, dude, I just think Garrett Wilson's kind of him.
So, I obviously don't think he's better than Justin Jefferson and Chase. On, what's it called? Bulletproof, he's still the wide receiver 5 behind A.J. Brown and CeeDee. My problem with Garrett Wilson is, like, do I see him being a first-round startup guy, which is kind of where he needs to go if he's going to go up? And I don't think that's going to be the case. So I'm going to put an O.
Yeah, it's definitely fair.
I think he's good.
I just think he's going to get fed so much this year that he's just going to be like a – it's almost like an Amon-Ra situation where even if you deny the talent, like, dude, that dude's going to get a shit ton of targets. You know, for him to fail, he basically has to get injured or just suck, and he fooled all of us.
Well, I don't think he's going to fail, to be fair. I just don't
– Yeah, I agree that you could think he's overrated, right? Like, he's a guy you want to tear down from. Totally see that. But I think he's him.
Look, he had 25% target share last year. I only see that going up this year. Does he get to that coveted 30%? I don't know. That does put him in that like top tier, you know, like
I see Garrett Wilson as a player that can break that like 1300 yard mark. And that to me is what you're looking for in a receiver, where it's like, dude, you get a guy that can get over, I guess, more like that 1250 mark. Because to me, that's what really, that number separates the dudes from the, yeah, they're pretty goods, right? Mm-hmm. Like the guys that, and to partly to do that, you have to be in the right situation. I think that that's where situation does play an impact, right? Where you get a guy connected to the right quarterback in the right offense, the right amount of targets, that's where you can really start to get a serious amount of fantasy points. Side note, I also think that's what's going to happen with DJ Moore now, is that I finally feel like you get in a spot where he's going to command both the target share and be on an offense that is good enough to have him go crazy. A lot of speculation there, though, on the Bears.
What do A.J. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, do you know what they all have in common?
What?
They're all between 29.3 and 30% target share. So,
yeah.
That's that sweet spot number we're looking for with Garrett Wilson. And I think he does have potential to get, I think,
him and Amon Ra.
What we're looking at. Yeah, but I mean, you know who the other guy is, though, who I think is going to be there? And I was offered 2 seconds for him yesterday, which I turned down. I mean, 2 firsts. Sorry, not 2 seconds. I turned down. Drake London. He had 32.4% target share last year as a rookie. That's who I think breaks into. I think Drake London, end of the season, with this is tinfoil hat GT. I think Drake London's going to be a top five dynasty wide receiver.
Oh, wait, I got to take your other hat off.
Yeah, I set you up for this one, but I
your wizard hat's been removed. Now you're tinfoil hat, yeah. JT.
I set you up. I knew you had this one ready.
Tinfoil hat JT has reared his ugly head.
All right. Well, that's all I have about these over-unders. Yep. That's the over-unders for the year. Next week, Frank, you're going to be gone. I don't know if we're going to have – kind of depends on Lunas and if I'm able to run the show, if we'll have another episode next week. Or maybe Frank will call in. We'll see. Sorry. But, yeah, excited for the start of this regular season. It's finally here. Now we got to see all our takes come to fruition, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. I get to lose more championships. Here we go.
At least wait. You're consistent.
But, yeah, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it. Have a good one. Peace.
Thanks, everyone.